This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hi there, I'm Lorraine.
And I'm Rosie, and welcome to the latest episode of What If? Today we have the amazing Alison Hammond on, which we're both really excited for, from Big Brother to the heart of daytime TV.
She absolutely is, absolutely is. But I think, Alison, you were always going to be an entertainer of some sort, weren't you?
I really do think it was in my bones, Lorraine. I think from an early age, my mum was obsessed with showbiz. Everything showbiz, my mum loved it. She was into doing extra work. She was in Empire Road. She was in a show called Marjorie and the Preacher Man, Angels. Now, people will be like, I've never heard of these shows.
Oh, I remember them, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you actually remember? Because they're way, way back in the day. And she used to be an extra. So she like worked with, you know, Barbara Windsor. And she's worked with the greats, honestly. But she was always just an extra. I mean, the biggest line she ever had was, "It's water under the bridge." So we used to always tease her that she only ever had one line in her life on TV, and that was water, and it's water under the bridge. It used to really tickle me.
What if, though, you had gone to say you'd gone to drama school, for example?
Yeah.
What if you had done that? Would that have been something that would have been possible? Because that would have been a real what if moment, wouldn't it?
I actually had an audition at ALRA, which was the Academy of Live and Recorded Arts, when I was about 18 at the time, because I really wanted to go into acting and I thought I was good at it. And so I went along to this audition, and I can remember going in for the interview. I'd done really well and I went in for the interview, and they turned to me and they said, "You do realise we're going to have to modify your accent, don't you?" And I was like, "What do you mean, modify my accent?" And they were like, "Well, get rid of that Birmingham accent." And I was like, "Oh, right, okay." And it kind of didn't sit with me, but I just kind of agreed to it. And then when I went home, I was like, I don't know if I want to get rid of my accent. Well, I mean, what do they want me to sound like? What was wrong with my accent? So, you know, there was a massive possibility that I was going to go to ALRA. And in the last minute, like literally I was going to start on the Monday and it was the Saturday. And I just turned to my mum and said, "I don't think I want to do it." And she said, "If you don't want to do it, don't do it."
Well, exactly.
I says, I don't want to do it. And so I didn't go.
I mean, I was told to lose my Glasgow accent when I worked for BBC Scotland. Yeah, I was. And it actually, Alison, it spurred me on to go and apply for a job with TVAM. So that was my what if moment. And it's quite similar, really, isn't it? When you thought to yourself, well, you...
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine you sounding any other way. It would be
Well, I'd sound like this, Lorraine. Hello, good morning. How are you? That's the only way I can get rid of my accent.
But it wouldn't work. And you know what would happen, and you would revert back to it. Of course you would. You know,
always. I revert. I get more Brummy. As soon as I hear my friends or I go back home, I literally, my accent, they say, "You don't sound like that on television." I said, "I do. I just sound so much more Brummy when I go back home." But yeah, I don't think it sat with, I think ultimately it didn't sit well with me. Them telling me that I had to change in some way, it didn't feel comfortable. And I just thought, you know what, I don't think I'm going to get on with these people.
So what was the plan then if drama school never happened?
There was no plan. There was absolutely no plan. I just thought, well, you know what, I'll just keep auditioning. Because the thing is, at the time, I can remember I was auditioning and I wasn't getting any jobs. I wasn't getting very many jobs. And I just thought, oh, it's because I'm not trained. That's the reason why I'm not getting any jobs. Well, I don't know. Maybe it was just the fact that I wasn't any good at acting. I just wasn't that great. So I wasn't getting any jobs. And I just thought, well, maybe I need to, you know, learn my craft and go. And I'd already been in the Central Television Workshop, but that took me to a certain stage. I think I needed to go and do, you know, Shakespeare and modern plays and stuff like that. And that's what I thought I needed to do, when in fact it probably wasn't. And with anything with regards to acting, for every, you know, job that you do get, you've probably done 100 auditions. Yeah. And I was just impatient and I wanted all the auditions, you know what I mean? But it's just a numbers game, really. And, you know, sometimes your face fits and sometimes it just doesn't.
No, that's true. And to take you back a wee bit, you were talking about the fact that your mum worked with total icons like Barbara Windsor. Your dad worked with Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, every
that's
time
extraordinary. I had no idea about it. Until I read your book, I had no idea that happened. Yeah. It's amazing.
Well, at the time, I didn't know how amazing he was, the legend, because I was only 6 at the time. And I can remember my dad used to always go off and look after Muhammad Ali every time he came to Birmingham or came to England. He'd be one of his bodyguards. He'd always call upon a certain number of bodyguards. And my dad was one of them. And I can remember going to, it was the Odeon in Birmingham. And I think Muhammad Ali was doing some sort of talk, like an audience with. And I went along and Muhammad Ali just homed in on me because apparently I looked like his daughter and literally just wanted to cuddle me, put me on his lap. He was cuddling me and then the photographer was there for the Birmingham Mail and they were taking photos. And I can remember the photos and seeing my mum and dad behind, like looking at me. They were so proud that Muhammad Ali was cuddling me. But at the time, it was just me like pushing him away and thinking, can you just get off me, please? Just stop touching me.
I don't know this man.
You can actually see it, this six-year-old thinking, why is this man hugging me? I just really don't want to be here. I wish I could go back and apologise, but yeah, it's one of those, isn't
it? But what a moment, yeah.
You went to Tunisia? How old were you when you did that?
So I went on holiday with my friend, Emma, really good mates. I've known her for absolute years. And we just decided it was our first holiday away from, you know, when you normally go away with parents and it's that first holiday you go away with your mate. We decided to go on holiday. We went to the travel agent. We were like, we just want to go anywhere. And they were like, well, there's this great deal to Tunisia. We were like, yep, yeah, we'll do it. And it was 3 hours from Birmingham. We went to Tunisia, got to this hotel in the Safia. And we had a lovely, lovely time. And on the evenings, we used to go to the entertainment team and watch the entertainment. I can remember talking to one of the entertainers and she'd just arrived and she was really homesick and she was missing her boyfriend and she was absolutely hating it. She was like, I really don't even want to do mini disco tonight. And I was like, oh, I'll do mini disco. She went, would you? I went, yeah, I'll do. I'll go up on stage and do mini disco with the kids. So I went up on stage. I was like on holiday and I went on stage and did this mini disco, literally facilitated it, hosted it and had such a good time with the kids. Then the manager came up to me afterwards and said, you really should do this. You should come back, go back home, have your holiday, go back home and then come back out as an entertainer. And I was like, really? He was like, yeah, we'll offer you a job. We'll pay you to come and be one of our entertainers.
Well, that's brilliant, isn't it? What if you hadn't gone to Tunisia?
What if that woman had liked her holiday?
And hadn't been home.
Oh, sorry, had liked her job.
Yeah. What if? Well, I would have just had a nice little holiday with my friend and then I would have gone back home. Mm. And then I would have carried on jobbing it, doing different jobs that really wasn't really that happy in. Do you know what I mean? I worked for Transco. I worked for Cable and Wireless. I enjoyed theatre and education. I worked in theatre and education. So what if that never happened? I would never have got that experience of entertaining on stage, meeting some. Still to this day, people come up to me and go, I remember you. You was our entertainer in Tunisia. And they still come up to me now and say, we had such fun memories. Or little kids would come up to me and they're like adults now. And they go, I can remember when you did our mini disco and you was our entertainer. And like, they still come up to me now and we say, we totally remember you. We had such great times.
God, that's amazing, isn't it?
And it's mad.
Do you think because of that and because of all of that experience, that sort of prompted you to apply for Big Brother? Because do you think that something to do with that? How did that all come
about?
It's
so weird, Lorraine, when you say that, because it's like, I think everything happens for a reason. I can remember being in Tunisia. I was in there. So I had not watched Big Brother at all. But I can remember we got the English newspapers all the time. So we'd see like Brian Downey's just won Big Brother. And I was like, what is this Big Brother? What's it mean? And like the tourists who would come out would tell me about the show. And they'd be like, oh my God, it's brilliant. It's these guys. They live in this house and they have such a good time. And if you, the last person standing, you win 70 grand. Obviously my ears pricked up at 70 grand. And I was like, 70 grand? Well, I'm in debt like 4 grand at the moment. I'd love to win that money. And they were like, you'd absolutely win it, Alison. I was like, do you really think so? They were like, it's all about personality and getting on with the housemates and you get on with everybody. You'd win it. And I was like, really? Do you think I would? So I just thought, you know what? I'm going to apply. So I went to the local internet cafe because we didn't have phones at that time. Went to the local internet cafe, paid my £1 for an hour, and I applied online to be on Big Brother. But at the same time, I also applied for Blind Date because I was looking for love as well at the time. So I applied for both of these shows. Anyway, I got Blind Date. That came through as a picker. So I was going to meet, you know, Cilla Black, and I was going to actually be a picker. So I was definitely going on the holiday. And then I got Big Brother. They phoned me up in 2 years and said, we really want you to go into Big Brother. Are you up for it? So I had this dilemma of going into Blind Date or going into Big Brother. So it was either love or money. So I chose money. That's terrible, isn't it?
No.
No.
I chose the dollar. But I never won anyway, did I? I didn't win in the end anyway. I lost in the end. I only lasted like 2 weeks, 14 days. I was in the Big Brother house. I had a little mini holiday.
When you were growing up, I guess there weren't many black women on telly, really. I mean...
Well, there was Fluella Benjamin. Fluella, I always remember watching her.
Dame Fluella, she is something.
She's incredible.
She's brilliant. You're right,
and
she was there.
And another trailblazer, Rusty Lee. I remember watching her on TVAM with you.
Yes, I remember.
So that was... and she was a good friend of my mum's in real life. So I did have her to aspire to.
Right.
She had her own restaurant at the time, and I can remember going to her restaurant and just thinking, you're an amazing woman.
But you must be getting little girls that get in touch with you, and little boys that get in touch with you saying, oh, it's just really good to see you on the telly, that's all.
Well, just looking around like now, I mean, look at Loose Women, you see so many amazing black women. Mm. It feels nice to see it, to be honest with you, just to see representation. And it's people realising that we're not all the same. We're all different. We've all got different opinions. We're all, you know, completely amazing women in our own right. And it's just really lovely to see. I love it. I love to see lots of different cultures, you know, black, white, Asian, Chinese. I don't really care.
Yeah, it makes us better, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, what I love about you is you're always so enthusiastic about everything that you do, and you have completely changed the showbiz interview. There are no rules.
No.
There are no rules.
I don't
think
there are.
I love that.
I don't think
but
there
I
are.
Love that, because I think you go in and you know what it's like. All of these big stars are bored titless. They are so bored because they've been asked the same questions 150 times in lots and lots of different countries. And then in you bounce and you just see them smiling. It's fantastic.
Well, do you know what? I just go in and I just want to treat them the way I'd like to be treated, really. And you know they're doing these interviews like one after the other. Bang, 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 bang. So I just think, oh, I'm sure they're a bit bored now. We don't really have to talk about the film. Let's just see what we can get from this situation. Like with Harrison Ford, I thought I'd take in some whiskey and some glasses and then just see what happens. And it was chaos. But it was fun. It was good chaos.
It was because he's really, really grumpy, Alison.
I've only met him once, and all I can go on is what I saw. He was lovely.
I love it.
He gave me a kiss afterwards and everything.
I know. You made his day. You absolutely made his day. And I love that about you. It's that, and that thing of when Megan turned round and waved to you because you were shouting at her. When
slated for that, you know. I got so much trouble. So many people were saying that I didn't respect royalty at the time. I was like, oh my God.
Not at all.
Oh, but you know what it was? I got genuinely excited in that moment. Like everyone was willing me on, and I can remember hearing Ruth in my ears going, go on, Alison, get in there. So I got really excited and I got really involved, and I was in the moment.
And she smiled at you and she went, lovely. It was a really, really nice moment. There are many, aren't there?
Well, one of my favourite moments, and it wasn't an interview, was obviously the sailor.
Oh, the sailor on the map. This morning had a map, didn't they? A weather map.
Well, it was the old
weather map. And they was like saying, well, we want you to go and recreate the weather map. We're going to put two gorgeous models on there. And I was like, great, what could possibly go wrong? Well, quite a lot, actually. I actually thought at one point I'd killed him. I was actually a little bit, there was a literally it was about 3 seconds of thinking, have I killed that man?
So what happened? You were on Great Britain.
I was
picture
on Great
this,
Britain.
Picture the map
was
of
he
Great
on Wales?
Britain.
I can't remember.
And I jumped over and I was grabbing his arm to just steady myself. And at which point he went off. And sometimes I look at it and I think, did he purposely try and do that to me? Do you know what I mean? To get his moment. But yeah, he fell off and I was just absolutely mortified. Absolutely mortified. I was actually a bit, honest to, I was genuinely thinking to myself, I just hope he's all right because, you know, I didn't want anything to happen. And plus it was live television. So
but if that
obviously
had happened to anyone else,
they wouldn't have got
away with it.
They wouldn't have got away with it. They wouldn't have reacted the way you did, though. You made it work.
Well, I was just
terribly sorry in the end.
I gave him my coat. I was very chivalrous and I gave him my coat because it was so cold. But yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you've got a map of Britain in water.
Yeah.
And you have to jump from Ingerland across to Ireland. And that is, I mean, come on.
I was more bothered about me falling in. I didn't even think think about the fact that someone else could fall in. It was more about, you know what, just make sure you don't fall in here, which I didn't. I think I was successful with that. But yeah, it was a moment, wasn't it? Like, I look
it
at that
really
and I just cringe. I watch it. Anytime I watch it, I'm like, oh my gosh.
And you know that's going to get played and played and played and played.
Yeah. I think it went over to Australia. It went to Australian TV. And I think when I went to Australia, they was like, oh, could you come on our daytime TV programme? And that's all they wanted to talk about was that moment.
Of course. Of course. You're right at the heart of This Morning and have been for how long, Alison? How long have you been at This Morning from the very, very start?
I think it's nearly 20 years now. Wow. I think it's nearly 20 years, which is unbelievable, isn't it? It's like, but it doesn't feel like 20 years, I'll be honest with you. It feels like a blink of an eye. It's gone so quick. And it just shows how life is so quick. It's just that's why you've just got to enjoy it, haven't you? You've literally got to take every opportunity and just enjoy it because we ain't here. We're a long time dead, put it that way. We're
well,
a long time dead.
My dad always says that. My dad always says, you're a long time dead. So my dad always says, you're a long time dead. And it's true, you've got to, and that's what you do though. You seize the day.
Yeah. Mm. I just think, why not? You know, a lot of people say, why did you do this? Why did you do that? And my question back to them is, why not? You know, it's fun. I wanted to do it. There's so much stuff I do turn down. And sometimes I do regret. I go, oh, I should have done that. Do you know what I mean? I should have done this. I think I got asked, what did I? I got asked to do, you know, Wipeout. And I do regret not doing it.
Now. Oh, you should.
I think I should have done it. I would have really enjoyed bouncing on those balls. I probably would have done one. But I'm really regret that I said no, because that's gone now, hasn't it? It's gone away.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
They'll bring it back.
What was the one, though, you did do? Hole in a Wall or Hole in the Wall?
Oh, Hole in the Wall.
Yes.
I loved that.
That was the maddest show.
That was a brilliant show. And I said yes to that.
Loved it.
But then I've remembered, do you remember those, like, those jumpsuits that they have to wear? They're like skin-tight silver jumpsuits.
They were a bit unforgiving, those ones.
Like, really not forgiving. And I can remember going and trying on my jumpsuit, and it was really tight. And I was like, to the seamstress, is there any way you can do something with this? She went, we really haven't got any time. And it was the first time I was like, do you know what? I feel really self-conscious. Normally, like, I embrace my curves and I love my curves. But normally, I can cover up, you know, things that I don't want to show. But with this outfit, I couldn't cover anything up. And I was it was the first time I felt exposed, naked, and I really didn't want to do it. And I was like, I was literally just about to phone my agent and say, listen, is there any way you can get me out of this? Because I'm in Scotland. I just don't want to do it. I just look a mess. I look terrible. And I can remember Joe Swash jumping in the room. And he looked at me and he went, Alison! And he jumped on me, gave me the biggest hug. And he was there in his little silver suit and he's like dead skinny. And like he said, Alison, you look great. And in that moment of him saying that, I like straight away got my consciousness back and thought to myself, it actually doesn't matter. No one cares. No one cares. Mm. Everyone's going to laugh and then not be bothered by it. Lower your ego, Alison. Get out of your ego state and just go and enjoy yourself. And that's what I did. I put myself into my head and I went out. I had such a good time. Maybe some people were like laughing when they saw me first, but after a while, they just got used to it, that was my body. Do you know what I mean? And I just didn't really care. And in the end, I had such a good time. But in that moment, I nearly didn't do it just because of the way I felt in that moment. I just didn't like seeing my body in that way.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
But you're so bubbly and positive all the time. Is that when things aren't, you know, great, is that what you always do? You just talk to yourself? Is that your
I think sort of I'm really good, Rosie, and this is good for young people. I think I'm really good at overcoming things. I'm an overcomer. I'm one of those people who, yeah, it might be difficult, but you know what? I will overcome it and plough on. I'm not going to dwell in that moment of self-pity or, you know, feeling sorry for myself. I'll overcome it and go, do you know what? There are worse things that could be happening right now. You know, there's people starving in the world. Is this really a big deal? Me worried about being in this silver suit. Come on, Alison, get a grip. You're getting paid to have fun. Go and enjoy yourself. Yeah. So it's kind of looking at the bigger picture more than anything else. And that's what I try and do. Look at the bigger picture and drive on forward because it's really not that bad.
We had Kate Thornton on the podcast a few episodes ago. No, last series now. And she was telling us that she was told to lose weight at a size 8, which is nuts. And the majority of people that you do see on the telly now, even, they are tiny. Teeny tiny.
Yeah.
But were you ever told that you needed to lose weight or was anyone ever commented on it?
Like, oh my gosh, like every day. Literally, I'm sure there's a tweet or a message. I think I saw a message yesterday from someone, something along the lines of I need to lose 40 stone. I was thinking I'm not even 40 stone.
No. But what about
I'd be nothing.
No, yeah, that's
I'd be dead. Stupid woman. But she said that. Like, I get it all the time and I know I'm overweight. Everyone can see I'm overweight. It's not a surprise to know I'm overweight. Why do people feel the need that they need to tell me something that is so blatantly obvious and maybe think that I've probably told myself it 100 times before anyway, so I don't really need anybody to tell me I'm overweight because I see myself every single day.
I've never really understood why, like, saying something about someone else that's a physical thing is an insult. Like, if you're ginger and people are like, oh, you're ginger, it's like, uh-huh.
Well, it's a describing word, isn't it?
What do you mean?
You're saying to me, I'm fat. Well, thank you. Okay.
And? Yeah.
And where do we go from there?
Yeah. But it's true, in telly people are teeny tiny. I mean, I'm all right. I'm kind of like average, if you like, you know, size 12
You're
to 14.
Fit, You're fit.
Well, I don't know if I am.
But don't they say television puts on a little bit of weight, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does.
Like, sometimes I look at myself and go, wow, I am a big girl.
But you know what?
I kind of like taking up a little bit of space.
Yes.
I'm okay with it.
And that's so interesting what you say, because actually that's all it is. You take up a wee bit more or a wee bit less.
I take a little bit more extra space in the world and I don't think I'm hurting anyone.
No, you're absolutely not. As long, do you know what? It comes down to you yourself. As long as you are happy and healthy, which you are. And also, I really think it's awful important to see people of all shapes and sizes on TV. We don't want it to just be everybody stick thin.
And also, Lorraine, none of us are getting out of this. You know, we're all going to die eventually. I might die a little bit sooner, but you know what? I'm going to live my life to the fullest.
Yeah.
And if I do die sooner, I'm going to have a fantastic life. I'm going to have a wonderful life. I'm 46 now. I don't know how long I'm going to go on for, but you know, we're all going to die eventually, but I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm going to eat nice food. I'm going to try and eat a little bit healthily because, you know, sometimes my knees do hurt. So I will try my very best.
But you know what? You're right. It's all about living your best life, and you are living your best life because, of course, now not only all the showbiz interviews and the trips and all the rest of it, it's you and Dermot on a Friday. It's Happy Friday.
The Dermster.
Yeah.
On a Friday. I love throwing into your
it's
show.
Great, isn't it?
I love when you throw over because a lot of people don't realise we've only got a set amount of time. But really, I just want to have a little chat with you.
Oh, I'd love to have time with you
guys. How's it gone today, Lorraine? That's all I want to do.
No, it's.
I don't want to tell you what's on the show. I want to just say, how are you, bub? How have you been?
But it's.
We have to go literally straight into telling you what's on the show.
But what I love about you is that honesty, and you're so authentic. And, you know, you can't throw two people together and just expect it to work from the get-go.
Absolutely.
And the two of you have been
literally that's what happened to us.
Yeah, and you were just flung in and off you go, and it has worked, and it's worked beautifully, and you've got, you know, you work together incredibly well, but it takes a bit of time for that to happen,
doesn't it? Of course, and it's been really authentic, and we've been really honest from that, and to say, like, we did you know, it was difficult in the beginning.
It
was really hard, and you know, with everything that came with it as well, it was really a tough time to negotiate. And you know, I don't know if people realise, I was actually, I got a lot of flack as well doing that job, because obviously my friends were doing it beforehand, Eamon and Ruth. So, you know, it was tough to do it. And, you know, Eamon and Ruth told me to go for it. You know, I tell you what was really upsetting. Like, I can remember reading an article, and it was the first time that I'd become like just a colour, because it said black host replaces Eamon and Ruth. And it really upset me. That was the first time I thought, oh my gosh, I'm just a colour.
No.
I'm nothing else. I'm not Alison Hammond anymore, which I'd always been. I just became a black host. And that really like was quite shocking and quite upsetting. So yeah, I had a lot of stress before doing that first show. So I was really nervous. But I think I overcame it.
Yes.
And it's been okay. Mm.
More than overcame it. That's the thing, Alison. It was hard. I do remember at the time it was particularly difficult. But like I say, the two of you have got this really good partnership now, and it works incredibly well. Oh, you know,
that's lovely. And you know what? We feel it as well. We feel that things have changed, and you know, we're getting closer. You know, we're genuinely good mates now. You know, we talk to each other each week, and we're excited to see each other at the end. Instead of being nervous, we're now excited about seeing each other, excited about the show. It's great. We're in a really good place now.
That's fantastic. I mean, he's important, isn't he, Dermot? But he's not the most important man in your life. He's not.
There's a few important men
in my
life,
but the most important is your boy.
Yeah, Aidan. Well, you know what it's like. We're sitting next to your Rosie there. There are everything. That's the reason why we're doing what we do.
Yep.
It's for their legacy and for them, really.
And is he...
But I love the fact that he's just like a cool man now, and like he's got his own personality, he's doing his life, and he's smashing life, and he's got such a lovely outlook on life as well. And that's what I'm so proud of more than anything.
Oh, that's good, isn't it? That's all you want. You just want your kids to be happy. Any sign of him.
And to be nice.
And to be nice.
Just to be nice people.
To be nice and
that's
to be kind.
I ever wanted.
To be nice and kind. Has he shown any signs whatsoever? Because obviously your mum would have been something on the stage. Let's be honest. Come on. There's you. What about Aidan? Is he going to do anything in entertainment, do you think?
So here's the thing. Like, I see that he could be a really good entertainer because
right.
he's really funny
okay.
and he gets the whole industry and
sure.
he gets it. I see that. But you've got to remember, that would be my dream. His dream is Formula One. He loves Formula One. Anything to do with racing. He goes go-karting. Lewis Hamilton is his idol. That's his dream. Like, my dream would be that he does what I do. But, you know, you can't live your own dream for your kids. You've got to let them live their dream. And, you know, so I just support him in the fact that he loves anything to do with cars. I'm taking him to the Formula One in December. We're going to go and see the Formula One, even though it's not really my cup of tea. But I'm going because he loves it so much. Oh. You know, I pay a lot of money for his go-karting. And when he crashes, you know, that hits the bank big.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
No, I know. And then there is the worry of, is he going to do himself a mischief? There's all of that. But if it's his...
Well, he has broken a couple of ribs before.
Ooh.
So, yeah, he just loves it, though. That's his passion, and that's where he wanted to be. He's at college now, and, you know, he could have stayed on and done sixth form. He wanted to go and do, you know, Formula One mechanics. So that's his dream, and that's what he's doing at the moment. And he's so happy.
Of course, of course. Where are you the happiest?
What a great question. Do you know what? I think I live for going home.
Yeah.
I live for, like, being on the motorway, and I know I'm going home to the family. I've got a friend who's staying with me at the moment, my gay best friend.
Oh,
he's staying with me at the moment with his little dog called Bobby.
Oh.
And he's just been fantastic with Aidan, and it's like we're a little family at the moment. It's just great. Honestly, it really works. And Bobby, I love having a dog. I love it. Like, I've never really been a dog person, if I'm honest with you, but I think I'm a dog person now. And I think when he leaves, because he's leaving in April to go and work abroad, he's a Boy George tribute tat, and he's amazing.
My God. He sounds like the best person in the world.
He's the best person. He's so much fun as well. Brings so much laughter to the house. But literally, he's going away in April. I'm going to miss him so much. And I think I'm going to get a dog.
I think you should. Decided. I think you should
definitely get one.
Like, I've loved having a dog, going for walks and everything. He's just, and he loves me. Like, when I come home, he's like on his hind legs jumping. He's gorgeous. He's a little chihuahua. He's tiny, but he's got a lovely deer face. Okay. He's just stunning. Oh. He's stunning.
Well, we love dogs, don't we? I mean, we've actually got Ruby here.
Ruby is here. She's having a nap.
Oh, yeah. Is Ruby there?
Rosie's little sausage.
She's the most useless producer that we...
Oh, she's all right. I mean, she's not bad. To be fair, she
doesn't have any thumbs.
So it's kind of difficult. Oh, yeah. No, you must. You must.
I think I am. I've really enjoyed, like, the energy of the house. It just changes. Yep. It's so lovely.
It's another little heartbeat in the house when there's nothing else there.
Oh,
it's just absolutely beautiful.
He was licking my feet yesterday, and I would never have entertained a dog licking my feet. And yesterday, I let him lick both of my feet, and I was okay with it.
I love it.
I was thinking, what is he licking? It must be the salt. I don't know what it is. But he loves licking my feet. And it was a real bonding moment.
Who needs a man when you've got a dog?
Honestly, he's just lovely. I really enjoy his company.
So we end each episode by getting our guests to tell us their biggest fail, regret and win. Mm-hmm. So we will start with fail.
Ooh.
Good question. Fail. My biggest fail in life would be that I didn't get a degree.
Ooh.
I always wish I had that picture. You know that picture of like smiling with the hat on and the degree in the hand. That's probably my biggest failure.
That's so interesting because I was exactly the same. My mum and dad were so disappointed because it's a big deal. You know, working class family.
It's so silly.
Thank goodness my brother went, or I don't know what would have happened. And they got their photo. Alison, I'm sure you'll get an honorary degree at one point. I got an honorary degree from Dundee University.
Did you?
I did. That's the best way to get it. You don't do any work and then they give you one.
It's brilliant.
But then do you have to do a speech?
No, if you don't want to. You know, Not necessarily.
I want to do a speech.
Oh, no.
Then you can do a speech.
You can basically do whatever you like. It's your day, so you can do whatever you fancy. So there we are.
Well, you never know. That is one of my biggest failures.
Right, okay.
And what about regret?
That I didn't spend more time with my mum. That's my biggest regret. Because I lost her in 2020.
Of course.
Although we did go shopping every weekend, I feel like there could have been more moments that I could have given... You know, like in showbiz, because she loved the showbiz, like there could have been more moments where I took her to the NTAs, but I never had a plus one at the time. And now I'm getting, it's the weirdest thing, because like I'm getting loads of plus ones now. And I always just think about my mum coming with me.
She'd have loved it.
Because she would have loved it all. I'm going to see Will Smith tonight and I've got a plus one. And I just thought, oh man. My mum would so love to go and meet Will Smith, do you know what I mean? So, yeah, that I didn't do more stuff with my mum.
But to be honest, Alison, seeing her every week, you know, there's an awful lot of daughters that don't see their mums hardly at all.
But,
you know,
I just wish, I wish I could have spent... I spoke to my mum every single day.
Sure.
You know, there wasn't a day that went by that I didn't speak to her. I had such a strong bond with her. But I feel like... I could have given a more lovely moment.
Yeah.
That's all.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
Mm. And finally, a win.
Yes, a win, Alison.
Oh, a win.
What's your biggest win? What's your biggest kind of like, yeah, that was great?
My biggest win would have to be seeing Aidan like come into his own more than anything else and know that he doesn't really need me anymore. That's my biggest win. Seeing that he doesn't, if anything did happen to me, I know my son would be okay. And that for me is my biggest win.
Listen, thank you. You are a wonderful, wonderful woman. And that was absolutely lovely.
Thank you so much.
It was really good.
And it's so lovely to meet you, Rosie, and speak
too.
With you.
It was great. And Ruby behaved.
And Ruby was asleep the
whole
time.
She behaved herself.
What a good dog.
Still sleeping.
Good. That's the sort of dog I need in my life.
Yeah. I'll get
just
a Ruby.
Chilled out.
Get a Ruby Roo.
I'll get a Ruby.
Get a Ruby Roo.
But thank you, Alison. That was really, really good. Thank you so much.